You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from the Press Junkyard. If you're looking for parts for your old Rode portable recording device or a boom arm, then head on down to the Press Junkyard. There's also a bunch of reporters from Channel 7 and KTLA. They might run the place or they're for sale on Intermezzo RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon, and welcome to this, your Christmas present, or any other kind of holiday present. Maybe it's your birthday on the 25th of December, and you don't celebrate Christmas itself.
Maybe you're Jesus. happy holidays and all of the things. Welcome to this bonus surprise episode of Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. Yes, season 7 is behind us. Still plenty of things to unpack from season 7, but we wanted to take a chance and give you a little bit of bonus content with an interview that we recorded a few weeks ago. So if you're new here, if you just got an iPod Shuffle and you've been looking for, you know, you just unwrapped it and it's been under the tree for the last 12 years, and you're looking for podcasts to listen to, welcome. We're so glad you're here. You can follow us all over the social internet. We're on X for as long as the platform remains, over at Rick and Morty Pod. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast, Instagram, Rick and Morty Pod. Also on Threads, if you're looking for an X alternative. You can send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on the subreddits, rickandmorty.reddit.com, or our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. And of course, our website, rickandmortypod.com. Thanks to all the YouTube viewers. If you got, a Kindle Fire tablet. Is that a thing? I don't know. If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/apathetic enthusiasm, like, subscribe, do whatever. And a big thanks and a Merry Christmas to all the patrons at patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm. Thank you for supporting our show, supporting everything that we do all year long.
But Travis, don't forget our friends over.
I'm referencing old show notes. Oh no.
Don't forget our friends at Blue Sky. Make sure you follow us at rickandmortypod.bsky.com. I don't know. It's complicated.
Social, I think.
I think I set up a Mastodon too, but there's like two people on there.
How dare you?
Well, it integrates.
Welcome
with
everybody. Follow us on the internet. So like we said, bonus episode, special episode. So we're not doing all the same segments and things like that. I know you're terribly disappointed, and I'm sorry. But what we do have is very special guests in this episode. As a matter of fact, what, 1, 2, 6 special guests? That can't be right. Brandon, six other people on this podcast? I don't believe it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Man, that's intense.
It was supposed to be 7.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be 7.
Yeah.
So we did an interview. It was actually our first time ever being invited to, and potentially the last, time will tell, ever being invited to a virtual press junket. So if you don't know what a press junket is, all the time when you see like clips on your parents' Facebook feed of celebrities talking about their movies and stuff like that, those are press junkets. And we got to do a virtual one over Zoom with a bunch of folks from Rick and Morty, voice actors, and Steve Levy, one of the producers, was there as well.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool doing that, Travis. Before we get into the interviews, we want to talk about just about the press junket just a little bit with it, where you go, it's a Zoom, you go into the waiting room. They say, "Hey, Brandon and Travis, can we shorten your podcast name because it doesn't fit in Zoom's?"
It's too long.
It's too long. Okay, Brandon Interdimensional RSS, Travis Interdimensional. But then other press folks are like jumping in and they're coming in, you see their background and like their office, and then they turn their cameras off real quick, and then it shows their name, Jamie, CNN, Inverse, Gizmodo, Wow,
I've gotten to some of these websites.
Nerdist.
So bizarre.
There's a Nerdist person.
Let's talk about the other thing with this interview, right? Is we got invited to this. And it turned out to be the same day that I was having a medical procedure. I had had it scheduled for weeks. I was having an upper endoscopy. So they were going to put me completely out under anesthesia, stick a camera down my throat, and then wake me back up a few minutes later. The timing of this was so close that it was like, depending on how quickly it takes me to wake up from general anesthesia, I may or may not be able to participate in this interview. So I want to have that caveat before we go any further. I made it. I made it for the conversation, but I had been medically passed out not 2 hours before this interview took place.
No, that's a very good caveat to put out there, Travis. Similarly, I was not on top of my game that morning because I was stressing out. Like, you know, I wasn't nervous leading up to the day of, and then all of a sudden that morning, I'm like, oh no, I'm not gonna do well. Which shirt should I wear? Oh, I hope this shirt's the right shirt. Don't wear a Rick and Morty shirt. And
you don't want to wear the band's shirt to their concert. You don't. Come on, you're too cool.
That's
for that.
Right. And I didn't want to wear my podcast shirt either because I think I wore it last time.
I think wearing a shirt was a good choice. I know you went back and forth on that for a while, but I think you made the right call.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, super super cool. What we did was there was two separate rooms. Talk about that a little bit. We had the first room, which was Sarah Chalk, Chris Parnell, Steve Levy, and of course Harry Belden, who does the voice of Morty. And then in the second room, we went back into that main kind of landing area. Then we got pulled in to talk to Spencer Grammer and Ian Cardoni, who voices Rick. And
yeah, so a couple other notes here, right? Because we're going to get to these interviews here. I promise you. I assure you. One of the other people that was supposed to be part of these interviews was Scott Martyr, executive producer, showrunner. He was supposed to be in that room with Ian and Spencer. So a lot of our show prep, we actually had a lot of questions for Scott Martyr. Longtime fans of this podcast are familiar with who he is. He's been on here a few times talking about the show. And we had a lot of questions about season 7, about the structure of season 7. And same day, it turns out, for whatever reason, Scott Martyr was not going to be able to participate in the interview. So we had to do some quick rearranging. We asked some more of our production questions of Steve Levy, who is another producer and is very involved with the writing and production of the show. But it kind of like adjusted some of our plans. And then the other thing about these rooms is we had 10 minutes.
10
total
minutes.
And I think the second our faces pop up in the Zoom, they may have started the clock because we not having done this before, we were kind of and in the past when we do have interviews, there's a little bit of like a warm-up period and we talk to guests for a little bit of time before we start the actual interview. And then we get into the questions and have that conversation. And most of the time you don't hear any of that because it all happens, you know, before and after we start recording. With only 10 minutes and in a room like the first room we were in with four people to interview, whew, it was quick. We had to get so to questions fast. Quick. Some of the questions we asked were kind of out there, and the answers they kind of lingered for a little while. So it was an interesting experience, but overall, it was a whole lot of fun. We're super grateful that they invited us to participate. And I mean, genuinely, we hope that you enjoy these interviews, that you enjoy hearing from these actors and writers. And yeah, it's just awesome that they're willing to include us with these interviews.
Very much so. And then the last note I want to add before we get started is we aren't cutting these things. We want you to see and hear just how truly awkward we are when we're on Zoom with a bunch of different people.
Ooh.
So we want to be transparent, and we want you to know that, you know, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Not that you ever thought we were.
If you were under any illusions of that going into this, which I'm sure you're not. We're just people. We just folks.
We're just people.
You know,
good whole
people.
Okay. Well, I think it's good to jump in, Travis. Let's do this.
The first interview that we're going to play for you is actually the second interview that we did. But this was when we had an opportunity to just 2-on-2, Ian Cardone and Spencer Grammer. We talked to them a little bit about, we talked to Ian about what it was like to get his new job, to take on the voice of Rick. We talked a little bit about their approaches for their characters, as well as some other things about like Comic-Con and the events of the summer. The summer.
Well, with that in mind, let's get after it, Travis. Pop up the interview with Ian Cardone and Spencer Grammer.
It's so great to meet both of you. Thank you so much for taking some time to meet with us today. Ian, I want to start with you. Hey, how's the new job?
Hey, thanks. I also just want to say I do listen to the podcast when I can, and appreciate your kind words. And it's really exciting to have held on to the secrets of this season and to my involvement in it for so long, to now be sharing the season with the world is a joy, and to see it reflected back by the fans and the warm reception it's gotten, and from you guys as well, breaking apart each episode. That's a joy to see the work out in the world and being enjoyed. That's the highlight of the new job. That's how it's going.
That's amazing. That's so great. Congratulations. And thank you for those kind words as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I would love to fawn over the both of you for the rest of that 9 minutes we have left, but you're great. You're great. Fawn. So I'm going to pass this over to you, Spencer, real quick. Yeah. We've listened to you for years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time actually talking to you face-to-face digitally, which is amazing. So we have grown with you and the character over the last 7 seasons. And so what we wanted to ask was, how has your approach to summer changed over the years? And how have you incorporated the evolution of your character's relationship to the family?
I think, you know, a little bit of art and life kind of always intermix. So I would say I've grown equally the same way that summer has. I think I've become more independent, and it's also constantly a reflection of, you know, your female role in society, like how her experiences with the patriarchal gaze, her internalized misogyny, like what it's like to be traumatized for breakfast, like all these kinds of experiences that we've all kind of been through collectively have been filtered into the Rick and Morty world and universe. I thank you for having followed me along this journey. I feel like I had, my voice is fine now, but I'd gotten really sick this season. So there's a couple of lines where I don't sound like myself. And that was like a really scary experience for me, because for so many years, it's been really easy for me to maintain like this very youthful, jovial voice. And I suddenly was like, I'm going to have to quit. I think I'm going to die. I was like, I'm going to die a slow, slow death. And it's good though, because I think those things are like a wake up call. Like our bodies do eventually start to fall apart, and you do have to take special, special care for this role. Like I don't go out. I live with humidifiers everywhere in my house. Like I barely go outside. The air is so polluted. I think that it's important that we keep this show going and my voice along with it. I don't know. I also think it was a natural progression for her to become more independent. I love that she is basically an action movie star now, and I want to see more episodes like that. So it's my favorite. It's really my favorite.
Awesome. So Ian, so like you step into this role, you step into the role of Rick, but like taking on Rick also means taking on a multiverse of variations of Rick. How do you change your approach when you have to voice different versions of the same character?
I think with any Rick we might hear or see, it's I treat each Rick as a fully formed character, fully formed person, and try to ground any performance I might give. It's a lot of fun to do variations on what is no longer just an impression of a voice. And so I think stepping into the role just in general has gotten me to look at the scripts and look at the characters and their growth from the inside, and really want to step into that as an actor. And so to be able to play different versions, I mean, they're all, you know, any character we're going to play is a different version of ourselves. So if these are just different versions of Rick, great. I think I was just saying, I was just saying with Spencer, you know, we have a sandbox that we get to play in, which is literally an infinite multiverse. I mean, what a joy as an actor where any iteration of these characters could come up. And at least in the creation of some of the variants we saw in 705 this season, I was given freedom to approach that. I mean, you know, a little bit of direction here and there, but to come up with a British James Bondish type Rick was a lot of fun, because that's how I goof off with my little voices around the house anyway. That's just, you know, a little, you know, that's just how I have fun and entertain myself. So it's nice to be able to put it to use. Awesome. Yeah.
It's like all the doodles I have. I don't have any voices, but stupid little doodles, right? Like, they're all part of me, even though they're all stick figure doodles. But
yeah, it's same concept. You get
not cockadoodles, the Americans. One of the questions we want to ask, and this is for both of you. We know that the writer strike and the actor SAG strike was this last year. We were at San Diego Comic-Con. We were fortunate enough to attend it. And we attended the Rick and Morty panel, which unfortunately was during the strike. At that point in time, were you all hoping to still be able to attend that? Like, you know, hoping that the union
make a deal sooner than later? Yeah. Ooh, what the hell, guys? Come on. Look at all the money they lost. I mean, California's already bankrupt.
Yeah,
let's just strike all the major industries here, why don't we? And just, let's just hope people can keep their homes. I don't know.
Yeah, and quit chopping down trees when you don't need to.
Also. I was bummed. I love going to Comic-Con. I haven't been there. I've been calling 2019 the last Comic-Con, because that was the last Comic-Con that ever existed for me before there was a pandemic. So I don't know what it would even be like. And I have friends who are on other shows. Like, I did a voice on Solar Opposites a couple of times. I'm probably not allowed to talk about them, but they always build these amazing things for people to enjoy. And I was like, I just want to enjoy it with everybody. All the hard work we all put in, not just like me and my voices, but like the animators and the show itself and all the time that we've all been there. So yeah, it was annoying. Come on, guys. We're talking about tech companies though, really. We're talking about all of that 1% billionaire BS guys who really, who are they competing against? They're just competing against themselves. Like, it's just, at some point it's ridiculous. Like, you want to be more of a billionaire than that guy? Like, come on.
He's got two extra dollars in my billions in me. Oh, gotta,
yeah, like, what are we? It's enough. Okay, it's enough, right? Like, I can't. I'm upset. Let's go. Sorry. Anyway, I'm glad you guys got to go at least. Was it fun? Did you have a good time?
It was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was. We saw Suzanne, Jacob Hare, Lisa, and Steve. Great. He was there. So got to see them.
Suzanne had a good time. I know.
All the artists, right? We're big on that.
Maybe, you know, more what Comic-Con used to be, you know, like back in the day when it was just like artists and comic books and
memes. Yeah, and you know, the people that, the unsung heroes that are essential to every production. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. Harry,
he's right here.
We're gonna give him shit because he doesn't follow us on Instagram.
Follow you guys either. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll appreciate you from afar.
Slide into my DMs. It's fine. I'm kidding.
Is Comic-Con is something you're looking forward to attending? And I don't know if you've ever been.
I've been to smaller cons. I have actually never been to San Diego Comic-Con myself. And I'm a fan of so much that is celebrated there. I mean, it's a celebration of kind of the most fun stuff you might ever get to work on as in this industry. I'm looking forward, just blanket statement, looking forward to every bit of what this opportunity could bring. And, Yeah, it wasn't something that initially occurred to me. So I, you know, booked the job, started working. And then at one point, my wife said, you're going to get to go to Comic-Con at some point. I went, I am. I mean that. That's a thing I'm going to do. And that was really good. And then, you know, obviously the circumstances being what they were this summer, we were not promoing the show while we were on strike, when I wasn't recording, which we were lucky to be able to not be on a struck production. We could actually continue work on the show, but you know, we're not going to go out and promo it. And, you know, just in solidarity with what was all going on. When I wasn't recording, I was Pickett Rick, you know, on the, and so. I think so much hard work goes into this show, and to be able to celebrate that with all the people that work so hard on this show. That's what excites me about Comic-Con, to see people excited about what we put out into the world and to celebrate everyone's contribution to it. Yeah. Sign me up. That sounds great. So hopefully see you guys next year.
All right.
Fantastic. Hopefully. Yeah.
We'll be there.
Season 7 has been amazing. We've loved every minute of it. Congratulations on an amazing season. And thank you both so much for taking some time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, you guys.
You're the best. Woo! High five. Woo.
Harry.
No. Oh, Harry. Harry. Yeah.
So there you go. There you go. Great time. Tons of fun hanging out with our new best friends.
Ian, Tara, and Tony. I want Ian, specifically
Ian and not
specifically
Harry.
Ian. Look, I want to apologize to Ian. If you listen to this, Ian, I am so sorry. It was meant to be the joke about Harry not following us on Instagram, but the joke came out before the actual
the name came out before the joke.
Damn it. Yeah. Ooh, anyway,
all kerfuffled.
Anyway, she hates me. Yeah, so that's good.
So, again, that really could focus more on like questions about their process as voice actors. We had to split time a little bit more with this next interview, starting out with Steve Levy, asking him some questions about the intent going into the season and some of the decisions that were made in terms of the scheduling of episodes, things like that. And then eventually we moved on to Chris and Sarah and Harry asking a little bit more about their process for bringing these characters to life. And sometimes even asking them about things that aren't even their decisions to be made.
We're not perfect. Roll the film.
All right, here's our second interview, the other one. Thank you all so much for taking the time to talk with all of us. It's great meeting all of you or seeing some of you again. We wanted to start with Steve. One of the things that we're interested about through the planning of the season and the sort of how you guys navigated the episodes, like some shows might draw out a confrontation with Rick Prime, you know, for multiple seasons or make that the whole season arc. You guys decided to go and make that big fight right there in the middle of the season. What inspired you to have such an important episode happen mid-season instead of saving that for like a finale or something?
I think we wanted to be surprising. We wanted it to happen sooner rather than later, but we didn't want to pull that rug right away. And we thought like it would be a really cool mid-season episode to kind of, we usually have the canonical episodes as the premiere of the finale. So why not try one smack in the middle of the season?
Awesome. Right on. Well, so we don't want to exclude the rest of all of you from this wonderful interview so far. I just want to shout out Sarah, Chris. This is time number two for you. So, you're part of the elite club who people have talked to us before. So I want to ask you something along those lines, Chris. So last time we talked to you, we talked about Jerry being more confident in your experience with the voice acting and making him more confident. His character this season feels like he is more confident. He's more comfortable in his incompetence, if you will. So what we wanted to ask was, do you feel that Jerry has gotten more comfortable with his place in the Smith family? And how has he really adapted to his role in the hierarchy?
Yeah, I think he definitely has. I mean, he has the line about, you know, you can't hurt me, you know, I know what I am. I can't remember what the line is exactly, but he definitely seems okay with his place in the family. I think the relationship with Beth and Space Beth has been a big confidence booster, probably. And just the fact that the relationship with Earth Beth is going well, is always nice. But yeah, I think he's gotten a little more confident. The friendship with Rick, has been helpful too, I think, you know.
Tenuous truce a little bit with the understanding that we're friends, but let's not actually say it out loud. Jericho, you know, and you mentioned the part about Space Beth and Beth being there, and noticing that the classic B plots of marital issues have gone by the wayside. Is that a result of that confidence between that relationship?
Well, you probably have to ask Steve about that one, given that I don't create the episodes, but Steve?
I think so. Yeah. I think that they've found common ground and have transcended all their issues and are exploring their relationship more as the seasons go on.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Sarah, now, in the season finale, for the first time, we get to see a version of like adult Beth interacting with a version of her mom, Diane. How did you approach those scenes where Beth was getting to reconnect with like her long lost mother? Did you look at that in any different sort of way?
I loved that the show went there. I think it was so powerful and so cool. And, you know, and I think it's really neat that they waited till, you know, it's like seven seasons to get there. I think it's probably obviously a moment that Beth dreams about, right? It's a moment that everybody would wish for,
yeah,
and that you never really get to have. And so those were actually really cool to record. We, you know, tried it a bunch of different ways and sort of with different levels of emotion. Yeah, that was one of my favorite moments of the season for sure.
Cool. I want to ask real quick, cause we don't run out of time and if we had more time, Harry, so great to see you. So great to have you part of the show. First question is, how many times did you have to say, open your mind? And then the second, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear a second.
The second one is a more serious one of seeing, you know, coming onto the show, seeing Beth now, seeing your grandmother as Morty. You know, how do you feel about bringing that into your character?
Well, first with Open Your Mind, we treated it like any other line. You know, I think some people might think, oh, you know, I did it like 5 or 10 times and then they just peppered that in throughout. But no, we, you know, went through, when I got the script, I was like, okay, let's go through this, you know, and okay, what's he saying here? What does he want? What is it? Okay. All right. Okay. I see what he's trying to do. And, you know, we went through, so, you know, it got, you know, the 8 or 12 or however many reads of a line that we typically do for everything. Which was really nice. You know, we took it very seriously, despite it being so funny. And for the second question, yeah, with Diane coming in, I mean, I felt this sort of resistance from Morty, this like barrier of like, okay, first of all, you know, this is a crazy sci-fi adventure, par for the course, almost like Morty wasn't gonna even entertain this idea, you know, like, yes, that's my grandma. Yes, that's, you know, someone that I feel like I should have this special connection with. But what I'm really concerned about is how this is affecting Rick, this real person in my life. And, you know, I think there's sort of a guarding yourself with Morty in regards to his grandmother, and that he maybe doesn't, he's been hurt in so many ways in so many different, you know, times that maybe we can do without this one. Let's just keep ourselves guarded and not even go there.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you all for your time. We really, really appreciate any moment you give us. So cheers to all of you.
Thank you all.
Thank you
so much.
If cringe is a thing in podcasts, well, there you have it, everybody. That is one thing I will say about everybody that we got a chance to interview is they're also, you know, gracious with us. We are certainly not professionals. We have sort of fallen backwards into this whole world of podcasting and interviewing, and so it's just really awesome that they welcome us in and allow us to have a little bit of their time to kind of ask them questions from this fan perspective.
Yeah, that's right, Travis. And what I do want to say is that, well, Harry follows us on Instagram now.
We did it. We did it, ladies and gentlemen.
Mission accomplished.
Unity. Yep. We got Ian. We got Harry. Spencer, we're still waiting. I'm just saying.
Anytime.
The last
thing I want to say, going back to that first interview the second interview that we did, but the one that we aired here first, is that it opened with Ian telling us that he listened to the show, which is a mind blowing fact, because
extremely flattering.
He knew who we were before we knew who he was. And that's crazy to me. That's crazy.
it is wild. It is crazy. This was a ton of fun. Hopefully the next time, if there is a next time, I am not coming straight out of a medical procedure, and we can look back on this experience with, you know, a little bit more, you know, comfort and be a little bit more relaxed.
I'm going to get a health procedure next time.
You should get anesthesia, and then we'll see if that helps you at all. I don't know. we are going to try and pull whatever levers we have, use any connections that we have over at Adult Swim to still try and get some more long format interviews over the what is sure to be very long off season between season 7 and 8. So stay tuned for that. But otherwise, that's it. That's your gift. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you have sufficiently hidden away from your family and friends for, I don't know, an hour or so, however long this ends up being. And we hope you enjoyed this content. Hope you have a wonderful rest of 2023, and we look forward to podcasting more in 2024. We still have a full season 7 recap that we need to get out to you.
Oh, yeah.
And you know lots more. So make sure that you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts or over on YouTube. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next year, I guess.
You have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. We're out this bitch.
Bye.
Bye.